Good morning once again. Glad that we could be together on this Sunday morning as we'll be talking about In God We Trust. The question is, are you sure? Now we know that that statement, In God We Trust, has been actually our nation's motto for quite some time. A little bit of history here. That one of the first found references of the motto, In God We Trust, is heard in the United States National Anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. The song was written by Francis Scott Key in 1814 and later adopted as the National Anthem. And in the last stanza, Key writes a variation of the phrase, And this be our motto, In God is our trust, And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. The words were shortened to In God We Trust and first applied to United States currency in 1864. So, United States Department of Treasury, as we have on our coins and on our currency even to this day, the motto, In God We Trust. We hear it many times, but yet I'm reminded what I researched on that of Secretary Chase, who instructed James Pollock to prepare a motto. And in his statement in the preparation of that motto, In God We Trust, he said, Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in his defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. You will cause a device to be prepared without unnecessary delay with a motto expressing in the fewest words possible this national recognition. And it was found that the Act of Congress dated January 18, 1837 prescribed the mottos and devices that should be placed upon the coins of the United States. In God we trust. Psalm 118 in verses 1 through 6 is the verses I would like to present in beginning. Psalm 118 in verses 1 through 6, you find David. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I think those are very interesting words. We've heard those words before of what can man do unto me, not only in the Old Testament but in the New Testament. You remember the apostles who were being chased around, who were being told not to preach in the name of Christ. And yet, they stood boldly and preached the gospel of Christ. With that very thought, what can man do unto me? I would submit to you that God is real no matter how we feel. Wouldn't you agree with that? And I want us to remember that. Because it's easy to worship God when things are great, isn't it? It's easy to worship God when you are surrounded by others of like mind, like we are here this morning. It's easy to worship God when you walk on a quiet beach or sit on top of a mountain. But however, those times, however, may be the exception rather than the rule. Don't you believe? Don't you think? My life isn't always great. I know I probably burst y'all's bubble. Y'all probably thought, his life has got to be the best life. I have a good wife. Y'all thought I was going to say best, the best wife, right? No. I have a wonderful wife. But you know, the fact is, our lives are not always great, is it? My voice, more times than not, is alone rather than joining chorus in my life. And my mountaintop experiences are rare compared to the nights in the valleys in my life. Hence, here comes a question. Once again, in God we trust. Are you sure? Here's the question. Are you ready for it? How do you worship God when you don't feel like it? Have you ever thought about that? How do you keep a relationship when He seems so far away? Those are good questions, I think, that definitely fit for us in our times. We're talking about the deepest level of worship and relationship. You might say, how is that? Maybe like this. To be able to praise Him in spite of pain. How about to thank Him in spite of trials? You say, how do we do that? To trust Him when we don't understand. To love Him when He seems a million miles away. And I would submit that, of course, from the Scriptures, as we will show, that faith, that kind of faith isn't easy. It's not one of those where I've been baptized into Christ and I arose to walk in newness of life and all my worries and all my problems are gone. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that's it. That's all I need. Nothing else in my life is going to cause me any problems. We know that that's not true. But how about this? The first thing I'd point out is that friendship is tested by separation. Right? We would say that what's true in human relationships is also true in our spiritual relationships, wouldn't we? We can make some applications of that. The point, we have to work at our relationship with God. And we won't always feel close to Him. And I would say that's when worship and faith gets difficult. It's when we don't feel. You wonder why there's so many variations of religion today? Why there's so many extremes today in quote-unquote faith? Well, because I just don't feel Him if I'm just reading the Bible. I got to have some more emotional experience than just Bible reading. More than just prayer, more than just singing songs from the hymn book. Well, think about this. There will be times when we will feel that God has ignored, abandoned, and forgotten us. Have you ever reached that point in your life where it just feels like He's not there no more? He's not listening to what I have to say. He obviously doesn't see what I'm going through. And if you've ever felt like that, or if you feel like that right now, we would say that you're not the only one. Well, let's take a venture through some verses. Psalm 10 and verse 1 might be one of those we would consider. Psalm 10 and verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Remember that. That problem that's happened is that the ways of the wicked, they were persecuting the poor, they were doing all kinds of things, and they were just, it seemed like, scot-free. Their life just seemed to be so worry-free, so wonderful versus those who are trying to do the right thing, the righteous. He goes on to say, the wicked boast of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. But yet they just continue. Chapter 22. Notice there in verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Go to chapter 43 and verse 2. Chapter 43 and verse 2. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Chapter 89 and verse 46. Even more so, here we are again. Chapter 89 and verse 46 of Psalm. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? You know, you take an account of all the things that they were facing, whether David, whether Moses, or their worshiping faith got difficult at times. They had these thoughts. How do we know? Because we just read them. There is a truth that God had not turned his back on them any more than he will turn his back on us. That's fact. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. If you go back further in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. It's a good place to look. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. See, there's a promise that was given to them, wasn't it? When Joshua became the new leader of Israel in that very chapter. Take courage, is words that you find, that he will not leave you nor forsake you, no matter what. And of course, we all know that that's repeated in the New Testament, that of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Very simply the same. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have. For himself it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Goes on, doesn't it, in verse 6. So he may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? It's not only found in Psalm 118. But it's found in Psalm 27 in verse 1 as well, isn't it? It's repeated. So there's got to be some weight behind it. But I would say that even with that, that God has not turned his back on them any more than he's turned his back on us. That doesn't mean that we will never have feelings of separation, will it? Have you ever prayed and felt nothing? Or gone through low tides when you felt that God was distant? At those very times, we're tempted to ask, what's wrong with me? The answer is perhaps nothing. It may be a natural or normal part of developing our faith and relationship with him. Here's another key truth. Beware of basing your faith upon feelings, because your feelings will betray you. Do you believe that? Let's consider this. When God seems distant. When God seems distant. There's an individual that you know we were going to, and that's, of course, Job. Who else would we remember who felt that God was distant at one time? In the book of Job, if you'll go there, we'll see some things. There were times that Job felt disconnected from God. In chapter 23 and verse 8 and 9, I believe, is a good place to find those very words. Job 23, verses 8 and 9. Look, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. He felt disconnected from God. His feelings of abandonment had nothing to do with sin, but were a test of his faith, wasn't it? You remember that all the way to the beginning of chapter 1 of Job. All the things that was going on in his life. And our faith actually may be equally tested. The question that arises is, will we continue to trust and obey when we don't feel his presence? When we don't feel. I believe that there's a common mistake, and you might agree with me. The common mistake that we have today is seeking an emotional experience rather than actually seeking Him. Do you find that more and more often? I'm looking for an emotional experience. Because a lot of times this whole seeking Him business is, that means we're going to have to do some work. We call it pounding the pavement, burning leather. That's in police work. You got to do something. You got to find the clues. You got to go and do all that other investigation stuff. I'd like to be sit there and something just tell me, that's who it is. I figured it out. See, that has to mean the seeking Him thing. Doesn't that what Hebrews 11 verse 6, does that say seeking Him anywhere in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11? Is that found? It not only says that, but it says diligently seeking Him, doesn't it? That means some effort's got to be put forward. If the feeling happens, we conclude that God is with me. Whoa, wait a second. However, if it doesn't, we conclude that God doesn't care about me. Do we see that in David's life? Do we see that in Job's life? Do we see that in these people's lives as well? Maybe. We see where it's coming from. That truly, there were times when Job didn't feel close to God. We have that in the book of Job, don't we? Same with David. We saw some of those in Psalms, didn't we? Yet even though their feelings were absent, their faith remained. Isn't that interesting? Something that's very striking there about those two individuals right there. So what else is there? We would say that feelings and facts are two different things, aren't they? They're different. Sometimes there is beautiful harmony, isn't there? But sometimes, due to my emotional state, the feelings are AWOL. And that's when we have to focus on the facts of the matter. So let's talk about facts. The fact is that God is always near. His presence in my life and in your life is too profound to be measured by my emotional ups and downs and your emotional ups and downs. I believe that God wants us to sense His working in our life. Don't you? Philippians, I believe, Philippians 2 and verse 13. Notice there, Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for what? What's the last part of verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2? For His good pleasure. Not for mine, for His. He wants us to sense His working in our life. But more even that, I believe He wants us to trust Him even when we can't feel Him. How much was agreed that there are times in life situations that will stretch our faith to the very max? And if we go by feelings, God seems to have abandoned us. He's no longer there. How did Job feel about that? We've studied him several times in the past, haven't we? So here's the question. The questions are, how do we praise Him when our life falls apart and heaven is silent? Once again, here's that mentality of man. Here's this human reasoning that kicks in. How do we fix our eyes on Jesus when we can't see past the tears? How is that possible? I would submit that we do exactly what Job did. And the same with David. We walk by the facts when the feelings aren't there. So we're going to talk about, to end the lesson, is four things that we must do in this. It takes us back to Job chapter 7 and verse 11. In Job chapter 7 and verse 11. Notice what's said there. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job was found to speak frankly with God as he began to pour out his anguish, as he complained in his bitterness. I don't believe he had fear that the Lord would misinterpret him as his human counselors had. It was not sin that caused this situation in his life. Because we remember Job was described as being a wonderful man. So one of the first things I believe we need to do is tell God how we feel. Don't you agree? Job did. He didn't hold anything back. He boldly came before the throne of God. Parents seek open dialogue with their children. So our Father wants the same from us. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do we find that in the Bible? That's quoted exactly from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, isn't it? He wants us to do that. Until we do, he will continue to feel what? Distant. God is such a trusted friend that, yeah, it tells us that we can tell him anything. Cast all your cares upon him, for he what? Careth for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. He can handle our fears, grief, our confusion. Like the trusted friend with whom we can share our entire heart, that is God. We'll say, well, that's pretty easy. Tell God how we feel. Does God already know how we feel? Yes. That's what the scripture teaches us. What's the second thing, maybe? Focus on his unchanging love. Regardless of our circumstances, confess the facts that we know to be true. You know God is good. You know that he loves us and that he knows that what we're going through. Jesus is told to be of that very sort, that he knows what we are going through. The very verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Did Christ know what it was like to live upon this earth? Absolutely. Think about it. In other words, never doubt in the dark what God has revealed in the light. Never doubt in the dark what God has revealed in the light. Job 19 and verse 25 is a very amazing verse there. We sing it. For I know that my Redeemer lives. Is that fact or is that feelings? What is that? That's fact. It didn't matter about his emotional downs. It didn't matter if he was in a valley at that point in time. It mattered the fact is his Redeemer lived. Do we focus on that? The unchanging love. What about the third? Trust God to keep his promises. So we just read a few of them just a few minutes ago. On those days when we come up empty, we're told to discipline ourselves to rely on his promises, not our emotions. In other words, don't be troubled by trouble. We go back to that of the book of Job in Job 23. Another good verses there, Job 23. And notice there in verses 11 and 12, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. That's amazing. He's taken it to a amazing lengths, hasn't he? Romans 8 and verse 28. Even the New Testament here. We know this verse, I'm sure. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to... Now here's the other part. Whose purpose is it? Mine? Yours? His. It says his purpose. If I'm called according to his purpose, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God is with us. God is for us even when we don't feel like he is. And number four, remember what he has done for us always. Never to forget. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is that something my mind focuses on? Is that my perspective? For Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 is another one. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we, he said, might become the righteousness of God in him. If we do those four things, I think we will see exactly what Job did and what David did. Let's conclude the lesson. Very simply, our feelings will betray us. How many of us know that from personal experiences? They will. There are times when God seems distant because he is distant. Now, don't get me wrong here. It's not that he has walked away from us, but I have. Sin removes us from a relationship with him. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says the ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, but your iniquities has separated you from your God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. We may feel disconnected because we are disconnected. But that isn't God's fault. It comes down to me. Do I trust in God? Do we need to tell God how we feel right now? Do we need to focus on his unchanging love? Do we need to trust God to keep his promises? How about remember what he has done for us always? In God we trust. The question now for you is, are you absolutely, positively sure? The Song of Invitation has changed to 326. 326 is the Song of Encouragement, entitled Trust and Obey. If we are here and we're subject in any way, won't you trust and obey? Number 326, won't you come to stand and sing a song that's been selected?
We will walk with